करुणा प्रचो जयानील प्रमादन करुणा प्रचो प्रभु कथा गेला जथा प्रभु कथा गेला जथा को हमारा स्वरूप कृपा दासनता हमारा स्वरूप कृपा सनाता हमारा भक्त युग कातरीरा हमारा भक्त युग कातरीरा काल कोला गरन आसन कृति गो माता अनल पशु पाषण कृति गो माता अनल दशेव सब संगीर संग जकल विला सब संगीर संग सब संगीर संग जकल विला kangana paya kande naro tamada kangana paya kande naro tamada Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Vaishnava Tato Prabhupada ki jai. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of his devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Hare Krishna.
Jai Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Before we start Srimad Bhagavatam, we can read a little bit about the two devotees whose disappearance day is today. First one is Mahesh Pandit. Mahesh Pandit was the seventh of the 12 Gopals, was very liberal, and in great love of Krishna, he danced to the beating of a kettle drum like a madman. Mahesh Pandit used to dance in ecstasy of Krishna Prema, just like a madman. In the Gauragonadesh Deepika, it is written that in Vraj Leela, he was the cowherd boy named Sriman Mahabahu. He was an especially close friend of Nityananda Prabhu and was present at the festival of the yogurt and chipped rice festival in Panihati that was held by Nityananda Prabhu. And Udaran Thakur was also one of the 12 Gopals. He was the 11th, an exalted devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in all respects. According to the Gonadesh Deepika, Gaur Gonadesh Deepika, the devotee who was formerly known as Subahu in Braj, and who was one of the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, later appeared in Gauralila as Sri Udaranda Thakur. Srila Prabhupada makes a nice annotation about him also. Calcutta was developed under the British rule by the influence of the mercantile community, and especially by the Suvarna Vanak community, who came from Saptagram to establish their business and homes all over Calcutta. They were known as the Saptagram Mercantile Community of Calcutta, and most of them belonged to the Mulik and Sil families. More than half of Calcutta belonged to this community, as did Sri Udaranda Thakur. Our paternal family also came from this district and belonged to the same community. The Muliks of Calcutta are divided into two families, namely the Sil and the Day families, whose members, intimately connected with the Mohammedan rules, received the title Mulik. The Suvarnic Vanak community to which Udaranda Thakur belonged was actually a Vaishnav community. Its members were bankers and gold merchants. Suvarna means gold and Vanak means merchants. Nityananda is the master of Udaranda Thakur and his servant birth after birth. Udaranda was from the Vanak community, and he purified the two divisions of the community by his devotion. Nityananda Prabhu delivered the Vanak community by his descent and gave them the qualifications for Prema Bhakti. Practically everyone in Saptagram was a Vanak. The moon-like Nityananda frolicked in kirtan within their midst. All the Vanaks took shelter at the lotus feet of Nityananda and worshipped him with great ecstasy. Seeing all the Vanaks absorbed in Krishna Bhajan under the direction of Nityananda Prabhu, the whole world was amazed. Indeed, the universe itself was astonished to witness the exalted greatness of Nityananda Prabhu, who delivered the lowest of men, the foolish and illiterate, and the entire Vanak community. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu performed various pastimes of Sankirtan and Saptagram, delivering the inhabitants of Saptagram as well as hundreds of their descendants within the Vanak community. In the same way that the towns and villages of Nadia were filled with happiness when Chaitanya Nittai had performed Sankirtan there, Saptagram was filled with happiness at the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. Oh, okay, I was just going to mention I thought previously that perhaps the Panihati festival was Babaji's and people that were followers of Nityananda. We don't read so much about Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes in Bengal, even in Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we know that Lord Chaitanya wanted him to preach there. So this gives us a little glimpse into the type of community he was preaching amongst the gold merchants and amongst the rich people. We know that Raghunath Das was practically one of the multimillionaire. We know that when Rupa Goswami, who was only maybe 30 years old when he retired, had a boat full of gold. So he wasn't dealing with just poor people and beggars in Bengal. He was also preaching amongst very wealthy people. And we can see the influence today, practically speaking, wherever devotees go in Bengal. Everybody knows Gaurahari, Nitai Gaur, because of their family heritage, not just because of ISKCON's present-day preaching. Yes, Nagaraj Prabhu.
When you reference the 12 Gopals, what does that mean?
When Lord Nityananda, Krishna and Balaram, when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appear, whenever the Lord appears, and we'll talk about some of that today, not only does he appear, but his associates from Goloka Vrindavan also appear. And it's said in the Gaur Gonadesh Deepika, it's revealed, that along with Lord Nityananda, 12 of his cowherd boyfriends came. So those 12 Gopals are 12 of the cowherd boys that are also associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna Balaram. Some Shaktis, some people take both forms. So that's who they are. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayet. Today's verses, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Texts 50 and 51. Text 50 doesn't have a purport, so I'll just read it, and then we can do 51 together. Mago nivalsyata krid yamuna ja gambira tauja jvoloni fedina bayana karvarta sakta kulanadi magandado sinduri vasriye pati. Because of the constant rain sent by the demigod Indra, the river Yamuna was filled with deep water, foaming about with fiercely whirling waves. But as the great Indian Ocean had formerly given way to Lord Ramachandra by allowing him to construct a bridge, the river Yamuna gave way to Vasudev and allowed him to cross. Text 51. Nandavrajam saurya upetya tantatan. Gopan prasuptam upalabdya nidraya. Sutam yasodasaya nididayatat. Sutam upadhaya punagrihan nagat. Nandavrajam sauryurupetya tatratan. Gopan prasuptam upalabdya nidraya. Sutam yasodasaya nididayatat. Sutam upadhaya punagriha nagat. Nandavrajam sauriru petatatatan. Opam vasuptam upalabdya nidaya. Sutam yasodasaya nidayatat. Sutam upadhaya punargihanadat. Nandavrajam sauryaru petatatratan. Opampa suptam upalabdya nidaya. Sutam yasodasaya nidayatat. Sutam upadhaya punagrihanagat. Ladies? Nandavrajam sauryaru petatatratan. Gopan prasuptam upalabdya nidaya. Sutam yasodasaya nidayatat. Sutam upadhaya punagrihanagat. Nandavrajam sauryarupetya tatratan. Kopan prasuptam upalabdya nidaya. Sutam yasodasaya nidayatat. Sutam upadhaya punagrihanagat. Nandavrajam, the village or the house of Nanda Maharaj. Shauri Vasudev. Upetya, reaching. Tatra, there. Tan, all the members. Gopan, the cowherd men. Pashuptan, were fast asleep. Upalabhya, understanding that. Nidraya, in deep sleep. Sutam, the son, Vasudev's son. Yasoda Sayane, on the bed where Mother Yasoda was sleeping. Nidaya, placing. Tan Sutam, her daughter. Upadaya, picking up. Punaha, again. Grihan, to his own house. Agat, returned. Translation. When Vasudev reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yasoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. Please repeat. When Vasudev reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yasoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his own residence, the prison house of Kamsa. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is an intense section here. Vasudev knew very well that as soon as the daughter was in the prison house of King Kamsa, Kamsa would immediately kill her. But to protect his own child, he had to kill the child of his friend. Nanda Maharaj was his friend, but out of deep affection and attachment for his own son, he knowingly did this. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one cannot be blamed for protecting one's own child at the sacrifice of another's. Furthermore, Vasudev cannot be called accused of callousness, since his actions were impelled by the force of Yogamaya. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gendana Sarakaya Chaksurun Malitam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. First verse. Because of the constant rain sent by the demigod Indra, the river Yamuna was filled with deep water, foaming about with fiercely whirling waves. But as the great Indian Ocean had formerly given way to Lord Ramachandra by allowing him to construct a bridge, the river Yamuna gave way to Vasudev and allowed him to cross. Of course, Krishna appeared in the month of Bhadra, which is the rainy season, so the river Yamuna was full. It wasn't the hot season in the middle of the summer when the river gets low. It was very, very full, and there are a couple of references to what happened when Vasudev was passing. When you spend time in Mathura, Vasudev Krishna is a little bit different personality than Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. By the time he comes back to Mathura, he's 11, 12 years old. He's a member of the Yadu dynasty. The Yadu dynasty had appeared in Mathura along with him to help him in his pastimes. And the mood and bhav of those people is very different. I remember there's one building, it's probably not there anymore, but it was a beautiful brick building with a big picture right in the middle of town, on the banks of the Jamuna near the Dwarka Nath temple. Big picture of Vasudev carrying baby Krishna with Seshanaga over his head. This is a beautiful mood of the people there. So in the purport to the verse where Sukadeva Goswami is describing how Maharaj, or at where it's being described, that Maharaj Parikit took shelter of the river right near his palace. There's reference to this pastime. As far as the sanctity is concerned, the river Yamuna is more directly connected with Lord Krishna than the Ganges. The Lord sanctified the river Yamuna from the beginning of his transcendental pastimes in this world. While his father Vasudev was crossing the Yamuna with the baby Lord Krishna for a safe place at Gokul on the other banks of the river from Mathura, the Lord fell down in the river, and by the dust of his lotus feet, the river at once became sanctified. It is especially mentioned here in that Mars Pricket took shelter of that particular river, which is beautifully flowing, carrying the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, mixed with tulsi leaves. Similar purport in the pastimes when Uddhava was speaking with Vidura, and he was remembering the pastimes of Krishna. We may note also that Uddhava, his friend, is Vasudev Krishna, Mathura Krishna. He didn't know Krishna in Vrindavan. Morally, Vasudev was bound to deliver Krishna to the hands of Kamsa because he had promised to turn over all his children. But out of his great love for Krishna, he broke his promise. And the Lord was very pleased with Vasudev for his transcendental mentality. He did not want to disturb the intense affection of Vasudev, and thus he agreed to be carried by his father to the house of Nanda and Yasoda. And just to test the intense love of Vasudev, Lord Krishna fell down in the waters of the Jamuna while his father was crossing the river. Vasudev became mad after his child as he tried to recover him from the midst of the rising river. So while he's in the basket and he's carrying Vasudev in the, you know, in the movie, the water's getting deeper and deeper, and the rain is coming down, and we can just imagine that. And then all of a sudden, Krishna fell into the river. So Vasudev, although he had this mixed devotion of love towards Krishna as his baby, he also knew that there's a mixture of the Aishvarya Bhav, because Krishna had first revealed himself as Vishnu within the prison house. So in order to, there are several different things happened during that particular leela. One was to increase that bhav of his fatherhood, of his loving sentiments as a father for the baby. Imagine you're carrying your own baby across the river and it falls in. Naturally, that mood immediately is magnified. Also, there are a couple different commentaries. We heard yesterday that simultaneous to the appearance of Vishnu, Vasudev Krishna in Mathura, Mother Yasoda also gave birth to two-handed Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. So some people say, some commentators, that just as when Krishna and Balaram were leaving Vrindavan, because Krishna never really leaves Vrindavan, when Krishna and Balaram were leaving Vrindavan with Akrura and took bath in the Jamuna, that's when Vasudev Krishna came out and went with Akrura into Mathura. Similarly, when Vasudev is carrying Vasudev Krishna into the Jamuna and drops him, then who comes out is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Other people say that when Vasudev put the baby onto the bed of Yasoda, that the four-handed form merged with the two-handed form of Krishna. So it reveals a little bit about that part of the pastime. Another antidote that was nice that I read in my research from Hari Vamsa. Hari means, of course, Krishna, and Vamsa means his family. It was revealed that Kamsa didn't really keep Vasudev and Devaki chained up for 9 years or 8 years. What happened was that he employed spies and kept them within his palace. And those spies and servants, of course, they became intimate. A servant naturally sees what goes on in the home of the master, in the rooms of the master, in private of the master. And they would reveal and send messages back to Kamsa about Devaki's situation and when she became pregnant. Then he would note it. And after a few calendar months, when he knew she was becoming due, that's when he would put the tight reins on and start to lock them up and keep them in prison atmosphere. Because we know from the next verse that when Vasudev got back to the prison house, he put the shackles back on him, so they were actually shackled. But it was interesting to note that it wasn't exactly like prison as we might think it. It was a palace. And they had their own quarters, but they were being monitored and watched all the time. Next verse. When Vasudev reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yasoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that one cannot be blamed for protecting one's son, one's own child, for the sacrifice of another's. Let's read Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's purport on this. Taking Yasoda's daughter, Vasudev returned to the prison. From the mundane point of view, it appears unjustified that Vasudev, who was supposed to be following the highest principles, condoned the sacrifice of another's child to protect his own. Vasudev cannot be accused of callousness, however, because his normal sense of discrimination was covered by his paternal love, Vatsalya Bhav, for Lord Krishna, who had appeared as his son. So, can anyone quote a verse, the pundits, or explain when Vasudev Krishna instructed Vasudev, take me to Nanda Maharaj's house and switch me with the baby? Do we read it? Is it in the text? Is there any instruction? All these commentators, all these people are saying that there's an instruction by Krishna or Vishnu, you take me to the house of Nanda Maharaj and switch me with the baby girl. This is the whole, but reading it through it, I was amazed. There's no text that reveals such a thing. There's no instruction. You didn't. Read it over. I read the whole chapter. It's incredible. There's no instruction. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, however, explains how he takes Sanskrit sometimes and fine-tunes it and analyzes it. This is the verse in the purport where he discusses that aspect. This is Vishnu speaking to Nanda, Vasudeva and Devaki that we just heard in his explanation of their previous verse and now his appearance as Vishnu for the third time. Both you and your husband, both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me as your son, but always know that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By thus thinking of me constantly with love and affection, you will achieve the highest perfection, returning home back to Godhead. Purport or commentary. In the scriptures describing worship of Krishna through mantras, Vasudev is mentioned as the father of Krishna. This shows without a doubt that Vasudev is eternally in the position of Krishna's father. But in order to increase their bliss by promising perfection of their sadhana in this birth, their status as Krishna's eternal associates, or Nitya Siddha Parikas, is hidden in this verse. Thus he says, by thinking of me, you will attain me. The actual meaning of the verse, however, is, I will now go to my most excellent eternal abode, Gokula. After 11 years, I will return to Mathura, and you will meet me at that time. But now I will be separated from you. Yes. So, I wanted to speak a little bit about looking back after a long time at something. Sometimes we see it a little bit different. I didn't really realize some of the fortune that I experienced when we were in Vrindavan during the 1980s. I was there from 1980 to 1990, practically. And at that time, looking back, the movement was going through kind of a evolution of devotees who had been practicing Krishna consciousness for some time and desiring to understand higher levels of Krishna consciousness and more intimate things. Kushikata Prabhu was translating books, even up to Vilap Kusmanjali by Raghunath Das Goswami. All kinds of books were being translated. The guru issue was a prominent factor in the society, so people were wondering, what is that and how does it fit in? And there was a lot of confusion and social, what do they call that when a family's messed up? Unrest, thank you. It's a good, simple word. So at that time, in Vrindavan, many people started to go out and associate with other groups and other senior Vaishnavas. Recently, came across a nice topic in Jagannanda Pandit's Prema Vivarta. He mentions there's three different kinds of devotees: Arupa Siddha, Swarup Siddha, and Sangha Siddha, and Swarup Siddha. Arupa Siddha is a stage of devotion when we apply our material concepts to our devotional activities. And a nice example to share with you is when I was brought up in a place where there was a golf course where we used to go sledding, and a house nearby. It was in New England, so sometimes in the winter it was, and we went snow skiing. So when I first read about Govardhan Hill, my only experience was my childhood upbringing and my visions and images of hills and mountains. So I naturally applied those experiences to the transcendental realm and Krishna's pastimes. It's the only experience that I had. Similarly, Nitya Badha, eternally conditioned spirit souls, don't have experience of the transcendental world. We don't have that connection. We don't have that experience. So when we visualize, when we apply our sentiments to transcendence, this is Arupa Siddha. It's taking a material experience and applying it to a transcendental realm. It's purifying, but it's not on the topmost level of spurti, of being, having the transcendental realm revealed to us. That's Swarup Siddha, the highest level. So, and the stage in between, Sangha Siddha, is that the more we hear Sangha, the more we have association, by hearing and associating with those from the transcendental realm, the more our material attachments and concepts of something are dissipated, purified, and transformed to transcendental. So there's an aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy where the devotee, as he advances or she advances, becomes more and more interested in a particular form of the Lord, and their individual Swarup, Siddhadeha, their eternal relationship with that Lord. In the big scheme of things, we know that there are unlimited incarnations of Krishna. And I'm sure you've all experienced these mix and match activities that you perform, like when you're in school or when you do a test. On the left side, they have a list. And then on the right side, there's all kinds of objects or concepts that have to link with those on the other column. You have a right column and a left column. The column on the right is abstract, and you have to take each one and connect it with the one on the left. So, mamayvamsa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. Each living entity is part and parcel eternally of a particular part of Krishna and has an eternal relationship with a particular manifestation or incarnation of the Lord in one of his unlimited forms. Vamana Bhaktas, Nishringa Bhaktas, Vasudev Krishna Bhaktas, Brajlila Bhaktas. Just like a seed has an individual plant within it, and as it grows, it's revealed what's in it. So similarly, each one of us have an eternal personality that we're gradually learning through the process of Krishna consciousness to comprehend and understand. Now, part of Gaudiya Vaishnavism includes the practice of a sadhana where you meditate on that swarup. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the other group, we'll just put it into a category, disagree on this basic concept. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and there's some wonderful quotes here that I'll mention to give the concept. The concept is that the Swarup, everything, is within the seed. Everything is existent within the living entity, and it simply blossoms and unfolds. It doesn't come from somewhere else. One philosophy. The other philosophy is that the Chit Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, which is manifesting his leelas, is unknown to that tiny jiva and must be bestowed upon him in order for him to realize it. From the Vedanta Sutra. As by washing away the dirt that covered a jewel, the jewel's splendor is not created but merely uncovered, so by removing the dirt of materialism that covers the soul, the soul's splendor is not created but merely uncovered. As by digging a well, water is brought forth but not created, so by spiritual activity the nature of the soul is brought forth but not created. How would it be possible to create the soul's qualities from nothing? When material faults are destroyed, the soul's qualities become revealed. The soul's qualities are eternal and are never created. And then the famous from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanada Sudatite Karaya Udoye. Pure love of Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, that love naturally awakens. So, in the process, there was one devotee who came with Srila Prabhupada to India. But when Srila Prabhupada left, he didn't have anybody to associate with, really. So he ended up associating with the Gaudiya Math and Bhan Maharaj. 7 years went by. And then Srila Prabhupada came back with his devotees to Vrindavan. And this devotee had been initiated and been living in Gaudiya Math for that 7 years. And he came and he started to have conversations with Srila Prabhupada. And he was discussing Raganuga Bhakti, Siddha Deha, Siddha Pranali. And Srila Prabhupada was agreeing, yes, yes. And this devotee was trying to enthuse Srila Prabhupada to incorporate these teachings within his society. And Srila Prabhupada, if you read the transcript of the conversation, is very agreeable that yes, this exists, yes, they will learn, but he doesn't at all become enthused and transform and change the whole existence. And I wanted to speak about why. This understanding that if we have material Arupa Siddha Bhaktas, have these material concepts, these material visions, when they hear about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, what's the natural way that they do that? What is the only way they can do that? To bring with them their own experience of sensual intimacy with their counterparts or counterpart or whatever into that realm of experience of meditation. And that's not a good thing. That's not a positive blossoming nutrient. Rather, it's a deterrent. And the example we can give is a child. If a child is instructed in the intimacies of adult procreation, it's too foreign. They can't, you know, especially if they try to engage in some sort of physical experience. And this is how the apasampradayas in Gaudiya Vaishnav developed. For example, the Saki Bakis, those who wear the saris and dress up with makeup, trying to attract Krishna. I've seen them in Varsana, beautiful looking man, dancing very wonderfully in front of Krishna. He was pulling the rope and getting the water and carrying it to the cooking pot and getting all the pots together and did this whole leela of a dance before the deity. And afterwards, everybody was coming up and, you know, bowing at his feet and offering him garlands. And it's a completely bogus sampradaya. And apparently there are 11 of them, different offshoots, the ways that our imperfections manifest. We know that there are four different types of defects of the conditioned soul: to become illusioned, commit mistakes, imperfect senses, and to cheat. And in his Bhajan Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur breaks down the defect of illusion. Illusion about spiritual knowledge is of four types. Illusion is called Brahma, Svatattva Brahma. Illusion regarding one's own identity. If we're not on the level of Siddhadeha and understanding our eternal Swarup, we're infected with this defect. Paratattva Brahma, illusion regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhya Brahma, illusion regarding the process of Prema Bhakti. And Sadhana Brahma, illusion regarding the process of sadhana. So, when we hear the four defects, there are subdivisions, just like we hear that there's earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Well, there's also manganese, coal, sulfur. You can take the material ingredients and break them down, marble, granite. It's subdivisions of the big division. So in the same way, you have subdivisions of illusion that we're infected by. So when we hear about Vasudev and Devaki and Nanda and Yasoda and think, oh, I want to be like Nanda and Yasoda, not like Vasudev and Devaki. Why would I want to be like them? Because Krishna is the highest. I want to be in Vrajalila. We're taking our own material, contaminated, defectual, illusory concept and applying it to Krishna's pastimes. So, surrender continues throughout the process of Krishna consciousness. It's not that we just do it in the beginning and you follow some regulative principles and you eat a particular type of food and perform these kinds of rituals and it becomes mechanical. It's not supposed to be that kind of an experience. It's supposed to be an ever fresh, ever blossoming, just like the seed is ever growing, ever expanding into the tree, into the buds, into the flowers. And then you may go through cycles, like these deciduous trees in winter, where you're feeling some different kinds of separation. And as the soul awakens, it becomes more and more enlivened in every single experience. Every single moment becomes something enlivening and beautiful in relationship to Krishna, as those material, which is dead, dull experiences fade off and flake off in our experience. So I just wanted to bring those concepts up as we read about Krishna's appearance, his lila, janma karma chame divyam evam eva viti tattvatah, simply by understanding the transcendental nature. Well, that's not exactly, that's like the big overall category, but when you get down into the details, there are so many. So the verses once again. Because of the constant rain sent by the demigod Indra, the river Yamuna was filled with deep water, foaming about with fiercely whirling waves. But as the great Indian Ocean had formerly given way to Lord Ramachandra by allowing him to construct a bridge, the river Yamuna gave way to Vasudev and allowed him to cross. When Vasudev reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yasoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. One other quick note. At the end of chapter 1, it describes that Vasudev and Devaki had 8 children and a daughter. The daughter was Subhadra. So Subhadra is the daughter of Vasudev and Devaki, not Nanda and Yasoda. Yes. No, wrong. Vasudev and Devaki. You look online and you'll see this whole big, somebody cut and pasted one thing and then you see everywhere. Go ahead, Pandavi.
Yeah, yesterday I was looking at the Arya Vamsa. It says that Subhadra first took birth as the daughter of Rohini. First took birth as the daughter of Rohini, and she died. At that time, her name was...
She died?
Also, yeah, she yeah, whatever, died. whatever you want to call it. She gave up her... that time, her name was Chitra.
And she was an apsara like that.
Ah.
She took again birth, and apparently from Srimad, on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says she was took birth as the daughter of Rohini.
Chakravarti Thakur in that verse where it's describing the thereafter. I can't find it right now. It says that it was Subhadra. So she's the daughter of both, Rohini and Devaki?
To make arrangements first for Baladev to be transferred to the womb of Rohini. When Vishnu appeared to Vasudev and Devaki, that time Yogamaya brought the son of Yashoda, that Krishna, to the prison house. That Krishna took Vishnu within himself. Then that Yogamaya inspired in the heart of Vasudev to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. When he got there, he saw the younger daughter who had been born after Krishna. Mother Yashoda never knew she had a daughter. She was tired, or it says bewildered from childbirth.
We'll read that in a couple days.
Right. And in that time, that daughter, her name, I don't remember seeing, it could be in Harivamsa, it was Subhadra, just says she was Anuja. Means Anuja,
the younger sister.
Born after Krishna. She was a partial incarnation of Yogamaya.
Right.
That Yogamaya was brought back. When Kamsa grabbed her, she manifested as Mahamaya.
So what's that got to do with Subhadra?
That Subhadra, it says later on, after they were freed from the prison house of Kamsa, later, to Vasudeva Rohini, the daughter Subhadra was born.
Where is that mentioned?
Gopal Champu.
Okay.
Jiva Goswami Pad. I believe it's also Bhagavad Sandarbha Jiva Goswami. Some other thing.
I just wanted to, nothing heavy philosophical. Like you mentioned that the guy acted in Saki Beki, which.
Uh-huh.
But what we also understand theoretically that no woman ever played up till recently, maybe, you know, last few years in ISKCON, as anything. And Lord Chaitanya played
right.
A woman. So how can we know that that was Saki Beki and not just a standard play that you see in Vrindavan? You know, what's the difference?
Oh, because I saw the whole group of them. And it's a troupe. It's a sampradaya. It's part of the culture. It's become part of the culture.
They always dress like that. They didn't just dress up like...
Oh, no, they're always like that. They're in the streets like that. They're in the temple like that. They travel. And it wasn't a theatrical performance. They just came into the temple to take darshan and he started dancing.
So, Srila Prabhupada wrote about sahajas, and these groups seems to fit.
Yes, very much so.
Like sahajas, really. And then, of course, in America, there's a special type of men that's, you know, like, what's the word? Gay or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, they have that kind of personality also, you know, and they probably would act like that. So maybe there, it is the same kind of thing. They probably...
A lot of times it manifests like that, yes.
Yeah, like that, really. But how you could identify a sahaja? I mean, how can you, you know, tell when one is, you know...
Actually, it's a good question. In the purports to the... discussions between Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami, where he describes Bhakti Lata Beej, and he talks about how when it starts to grow, sometimes the weeds look exactly like the plant, and unless one has more advanced association, then it's very difficult to tell the difference between the weeds and the actual plant, because it appears very similar. Our sentiments in our hearts. Being immature at this point, it's very difficult to really fine-tune and understand the difference sometimes. But by higher association, by devotees that are more advanced than ourselves, sometimes it takes prolonged association. You can't tell just by looking at somebody sometimes or talking with them even for a few minutes or days or hours or years or months. We've seen it. And then those anarthas come out. and reveal themselves. The weeds become more prominent. So it's a good question. It always has to be on guard for that.
Well, also, just one question you had mentioned about Arop Siddha Bhakti, Sadhana Siddha Bhakti, and Swarup Siddha Bhakti. I don't know. I think this might have been written in Prem Vivart by the person writing sort of as a commentation on different types of bhakti, because that's first written in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, then later by Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. Mm-hmm. He describes these aspects of bhakti. Prem Vivart is whole another thing.
So I just written by the read it the other day, so I found
right.
It.
So, but the other thing is that the concept about Vrindavan being the highest is not something that is for advanced devotees. This is called Sambandha Gyan. If Mahaprabhu clearly in Chaitanya Charitamrita has delineated this in Ramananda Samvad, it's also written.
Sure,
in
I don't think anyone argues with that point.
Yeah. From our perspective, the differentiation for your question between Sahajavad and sincere practice is the difference between rasa aswadan, rasa tattva. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's clearly said, Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, bhava tattva are, prema tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva are. Any devotee, he must know the tattva of these six categories, including rasa tattva. If you prematurely try to enjoy that standard, it is called sahajavad.
Good. Exactly. Nice definition.
Yes. To understand it must be there. At the time that any devotee takes initiation, it is called diksha. Jiva Goswami explains, Divya Gyan, Shiyate Papanasanam. What is the Divya Gyan? Divya Gyanam Hyanta Mantre, Bhagavat Swarup Gyanam Tenam, Bhagavat Vises Sambandham Gyanam Stra. Two things. Who is your Ishtadev, and what is your relationship with that Ishtadev? Those two things are given by everybody at the time of diksha. Now, as you perform sudden bhajan practice forever, there's no time when you give up hearing and chanting, gradually that truth that you understand in your heart and aspire for will manifest. In the same way, a young child sees, my father's a doctor. I'd like to be a doctor. So he'll go to school, study very hard, go to college, study very hard, get good grades, do everything necessary to achieve that goal.
Okay, let me just take a moment. Good point. To explain the other side, there's a sect, there's a school of thought, as I mentioned, that especially when we hear about, let's put it in a big category, Radhakund Babaji's. Radhakund Babaji's, and they've experienced in the last 15 years that it doesn't work very well. Their idea, their philosophy, is that it doesn't really matter how mature a person is in their devotional service, that you can give the disciple, the learner, information about his or her swarup and instruct them how to meditate on that. In their meditation, they become that person and engage or witness Radha and Krishna's eightfold daily pastimes. And they actually encourage people, go to Radhakund. They begin this practice, they begin chanting 64 rounds if they can or whatever, and follow that practice of sadhana, meditating on themselves as watching, witnessing, and taking part in Radha Krishna's leelas throughout the day. And there are numerous books which reveal what those pastimes are. But over the course, especially in the last 10 years, so many different new devotees who have come to Gaudiya Vaishnavism from around the world and wanted to quickly experience that, or go to Radhakund, it's the highest, they go to Radhakund, they start this practice. The head mahant there, his name's Ananta Das Bhattaji, he's actually stopped the process now of giving Siddha Pranali to immature devotees, whereas previously it was actually part of their philosophy, because so many unwanted pregnancies, so many sahaja tendencies have manifested themselves in gross ways, whereas previously it was more subtle and nobody really could follow the exact pattern that was inherent within the practice. So one shouldn't aspire for artificially learning about that prior to natural maturity, which comes by the process of bhakti.
interesting. So it is true. Historically, the practice came from the Padati of Chandra Goswami.
The practice is bona fide. Its application has become corrupt.
Exactly. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he saw that, he became very disheartened because now respectable people of Bengal said, oh, these Vaishnavas are not real sadhus. They're all bogus. They're having illicit affairs, etc., etc. So it was his great desire to again purify the process of Vaishnavism. This is where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came in and restarted the process like Tri Dandi Sannyas. Devotees wear...
And very strict rules and regulations.
Very strict rules and regulations. Practice of anashram,
yes,
etc. But it came originally from the Padati of Dhyanachandra Goswami, and it just became contaminated.
So what I learned from that, for our society and our instructions for ourselves, is that we can't artificially disregard the fundamentals. They always have to be there as part of our...
So why is Anantadas Babaji 130 years behind Bhaktivinoda?
I don't know.
Or
he's a very learned,
years
very
behind,
learned person.
Realizing what Bhaktivinoda was trying to say.
Everybody's behind everybody else at some level.
I mean, we don't understand. There's some innocence there too, because what happened was there are many and still are, like Gaurakishordas Babaji was the guru of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Vamsidas Babaji was very well accepted in the community. What they wanted to stop was what you said.
Yes.
The infiltration of Sahajavad into the pure practice of Vaishnavism. So some disagreement erupted because they didn't want to change. They felt that it's just like in our society now. If somebody came in and suggested that, well, we should have the Mangal RT at 7 o'clock, it's just better, we would say, no, Srila Prabhupada established a program, this is what we do. So the followers of Vakeshwar Pandit, Gopal Guru Goswami, Dhyanachandra, when it first came up, they felt like, no, this is what the Goswamis practice, Nirupadi Vaishnav Dharma, we don't want to change. Bhaktisiddhanta insisted, if you don't change, Vaishnavism will go into ill repute. So we must make that change. So this was the difference, kind of. Anyway, I don't know.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.